You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
When I was your age, the phone was tied to the wall with a kinky, twisty, 3.5-foot cord. It's hard to believe, but it had a ring that could not be turned off or ignored. We couldn't choose the sound of the ring, it was just the sound that we called the phone. We'd never heard of a ringtone.
Hey, this is George Robb, and Kevin and Cornflake can't answer the phone right now because they're busy recording the Flopcast. No, this isn't their answering machine. This is actually the Flopcast. So listen, will you?
When I was your age. When I was your age.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 147.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, and the mayor of Chickentown is here also.
I'm here again.
Hi, Mayor.
Hi, Cornflake.
Welcome back. We have you here to give a special convention report. First of all, though, how about National Whatever Day?
This week we'll be celebrating National Frozen Food Day on March 6th. You know, this has been a thing since the 80s.
Oh, because of TV dinners?
I think so.
Well, frozen TV dinners goes back to the 50s, I think.
Oh, that's true.
Your 1950s-style housewives, no need to cook. Pop this weird frozen dinner in the oven.
And you know who loved TV dinners?
Who's that?
Ronald Reagan.
Reagan was a TV dinner fan.
He is the one who proclaimed that March 6th shall be National Frozen Food Day.
And that's a term you don't hear anymore, the TV dinner.
No.
That's an old-fashioned term.
It's the internet dinner now.
And that was the pre-microwave, of course. So it was like a tin foil pack with a foil covering on it. It was all metal, which you can't use anymore. I remember TV dinners being a lot of fun back in the day. Did you have TV dinners?
I'm not sure that we ever did.
We would have them occasionally. Not often. Once in a while, it was like a special treat, as far as I was concerned. Isn't this fun, eating out of this weird tray with the partitions in it?
That's what I did in the cafeteria every day at lunch, though.
Yes, that's true. Every day's frozen food day.
We didn't have TV dinners at home, but when I was visiting with my grandparents. And I loved it because I've always been a section eater. Everything in its own little spot,
yes,
and I was happy.
Yes, these sectioned.
These are good for the obsessive compulsive.
The Salisbury steak, whatever that is.
That was the distressing part, was not always knowing what was in those little compartments.
The mystery meat.
Salisbury steak was very weird and suspicious. I don't even know what Salisbury is.
I was going to say, is it made of real Salisbury?
I hope so. And then there'd be the little dessert section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'd have like your steak or your turkey or whatever, and a thing of potatoes, and then like a thing of...
like cherry cobbler or something.
Yeah, well, there'd be like a vegetable course, some kind of peas and corn or whatever. Yeah, and then a little cherry pie thing or whatever. But some of the more ambitious vegetables would be making a run for it.
Oh, they
we're going over the wall. We're breaking in to the dessert area. Here we go. So you'd always have to be desperately pulling these cherry-stained peas out of your dessert.
That can be a problem.
But it was cool that you get your dessert served to you at the same time as dinner.
That's true.
You have to exercise a lot of restraint. So yeah, back in 1984, President Ronald Reagan said, I'm going to try to do this in my most presidential voice. I call upon the American people to observe such a day with appropriate ceremonies and activities.
I can't imagine what those would be other than just eating the frozen food.
What image does that conjure up for you, Kevin? Appropriate ceremonies and activities for frozen food.
Yeah, I picture just a lonely child in front of the TV. I mean, clearly the Reagan administration was in the pocket of the frozen food industry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm getting very suspicious.
As I recall, that was not their biggest problem in the 80s, politically, was frozen food. We did have other things to focus on.
Yeah.
True story. Frozen foods go beyond frozen dinners. There's all kinds of things we keep in our freezers.
Well, there's the frozen pizza pie
as
well. And I've spoken about this at length. I don't think on the show, but in my day-to-day life, it's all I talk about. And that's that when I was a kid, frozen pizza was horrible. It was just the lousiest pizza you could ever imagine. There was nothing worse than frozen pizza. Mm. And we'd get it every once in a while, just kind of as a weird novelty at the grocery store. And it was dreadful. We would eat it, of course, because it's still pizza.
Right.
But
every time you'd be disappointed.
But I gotta say, though, sometime 20 years ago, suddenly they figured out frozen pizza. And now it's fantastic. There's all different options and varieties and styles and these kind of high-end, fancy frozen pizzas. What a time we live in. Now, you got me all fired up. Now I'm ready to celebrate Frozen Food Day.
It's a frozen pizza renaissance.
Are you feeling very celebratory?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. How about we make up a 4.5 list of our favorite frozen foods?
Top 4.5 list right on the spot. Unprepared.
Instant 4.5 list.
I did not know this was going to happen.
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
What? 1.5?
The top 4.5 list.
All right, let's do it. I'm going to say right out of the gate, ice cream sandwiches.
Oh,
right? Solid.
Oh, yeah.
That's a frozen. Does that count? Is that a cheat to use ice cream as a frozen food?
No.
No.
Because I was going to say ice cream pie is my number 4. So do you have a number 4?
I don't think I should participate in this.
Well, if we all do a 4.5 list, that's going to be like 13.5 things total. That's a lot.
I'm not good at on the spot.
Neither are we.
I was kicked out of my improv class for my poor frozen food improv skills. So what's your number 4, Cornflake?
My number 4 is ice cream pie.
Ice cream pie. Right, so we're both starting out ice cream.
Ice cream.
Yes. All right, number 3, I'm going to go with an ice cube.
As just, food?
Yeah, just pop it out of the freezer and gnaw on it like an animal.
Okay.
What could be better?
At number 3, I'm going to say the frozen waffle.
Frozen waffle. Like
Lego my Eggo.
Stuff it right in the toaster.
Absolutely.
Excellent. When I was in college, I went through a phase of I would buy these weird microwavable frozen breakfasts. Mm. They have like frozen pancakes and eggs and stuff. It was horrible.
Yeah.
So that's my number 2 pick then, is horrible frozen breakfast foods.
Okay. Wow, how do I top that? frantically thinking through what's in my freezer. Okay, my number 2 pick will be Hot Bites.
Hot Bites.
Do you remember Hot Bites?
No.
Are they like mini Hot Pockets?
I hope I'm remembering them correctly. They were like the tater tot equivalent of chicken nuggets.
Huh.
Wow.
Hot Bites.
Never heard of that.
We need to go back and make sure that's a thing.
What's your alternate pick?
But should it not exist the way that my 6-year-old brain remembers it, I will go with chicken nuggets.
Just frozen chicken.
Yep.
All right, number 1, I'm going with, in 4th grade, we would march through our weird lunch line to get our milk, which cost 5 cents, and then they raised it to 6 cents.
Oh, goodness.
One dark day, they jacked up the price by a penny. But every once in a while, you'd get your little carton of milk, and it would be frozen. And you'd have to return it, go whining to the woman, "Excuse me, my milk is frozen." It was humiliating.
What kind of crazy school did you go to?
It was like a prison. They would just herd us through. We didn't. There was not even a cafeteria at this school. They would march us through the gym where they'd set up a makeshift assembly line to deal out your lunches. They called this the satellite lunch program because they prepared all the lunches at the high school and then trucked them on over to the grade school. And then we would parade back to our classroom and you'd eat right there at your desk.
Oh, wow.
And then you would go to your next class at some other desk where some other kid had just eaten their own disgusting lunch.
Ew!
You're sitting there in the remains of some slobs. And then my junior high, of course, we also had no cafeteria. Mm-hmm. We used the church basement across the street as our makeshift cafeteria. So in retrospect, I had a good 6-year run of no cafeteria at my school.
Wow.
Between those two schools, yeah.
I had only ever had to eat lunch at my desk if I was bad. You had to do that for 6 years. What kind of trouble did you get yourself into? Yeah.
It was 3 years at a desk in a classroom and then 3 years in a church basement. I'm not sure which was worse.
So, this frozen milk is your number 1?
Number 1,
this
is
supposed to be,
milk.
You know, top 4.5 list.
Well, you know how much time I had to prepare this list. And now you're seeing what happens. 0 prep time.
Oh, this is a disaster.
At number 1, I sure do like frozen fruit, especially in the summer, but I'm going to go with frozen mangoes at number one, because that's as close to a popsicle as you're going to get.
Frozen mangoes.
Frozen mangoes.
Never heard of such a
nom 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 nom. So good.
Excellent. Number one half, I have to say, in honor of our favorite band, how about the classic Freeze Pop?
All right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Those were fun. Sometimes they were called Otter Pops. Was that a certain brand?
I don't know. I remember calling them something else entirely, but I don't remember what that was.
And you could just barely taste the otter in it. It was very subtle.
Mm. Yeah, I remember calling them Icies.
Yeah. Mm. I'm pretty sure Otter Pops existed. I hope I didn't make that up.
Otter Pops and Hot Bites.
So the frozen foods that our false memories have conjured.
I'm going to have to be doing a lot of research for these show notes.
Yes. Number one half for you, Cornflake.
Fish sticks.
The fish stick, yes. That is one of the classic and usually horrible frozen foods.
I think the reason I don't like fish may be because I was forced to eat fish sticks.
They came in stick
form. Yeah. Fish sticks are gross.
Just completely unnatural.
I'm sorry.
I did not like them as a food, but then Da Vinci's Notebook wrote a song about them.
Oh.
It was also the Doctor Who connection for fish sticks. Which
oh,
is
really?
When the 11th Doctor was first on the show, he was craving something but couldn't figure out what he wanted, and... He settled on fish fingers, which is what they call them in England, and custard. Oh. And he would dip the fish fingers in the custard.
That's where that comes from.
You've heard of fish fingers and custard,
haven't you? I have.
Wow, that sounds disgusting.
It sure does.
And hey, what a segue, because you're actually here, Mayor of Chicken Town, to give a convention report. You got ahead of us as far as convention going this year, as you usually do. For me and Cornflake, our first convention is coming up next week, and that's MarsCon, but you've already come and gone from a convention already. You went all the way to California, as you do every year.
Every year for the last 15 years.
For the Doctor Who-themed convention, Gallifrey 1. What happened?
Well, it was just the perfect time to get out of snowy New England and to Los Angeles in the high 70s. It was gorgeous weather.
Yeah, that's a good point. First of all, is somehow you threaded the needle and slipped out of Boston in between blizzards.
And then
that's all we do, is just go from one blizzard to the next this year, and somehow your flights were not affected.
I feel like I got really lucky, really enjoyed the weather, and Friday, convention proper got started, but we actually went out to Rebecca Watson's Quizzitron.
Our friend Rebecca Watson from Skeptic
happened to be doing Quizzitron in Los Angeles that weekend. I was so excited when I heard about that.
Yeah, because we've been to her Quizzitron shows at Dragon Con, and mm-hmm. she started doing them at other venues as well. And it's this crazy comedy, science-themed game show that she hosts with a celebrity guest panel. It's really funny. It's really wacky. We've talked about it on the show before. So just the timing, just by pure coincidence,
she
happened to be doing a Quizzitron in Los Angeles, and there you were.
Yes, I convinced my friends to go. I paid for their tickets. It was only $10, so I figured we wouldn't be out too much.
You had to say, like, there's this really weird thing.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to.
So the four of us set out. It took us over an hour to go 14 miles. Now I know why everyone hates Los Angeles traffic.
Yep.
We actually arrived a little bit late. I had just enough time to say hi to a couple of friends, one whom I knew was going to be there and one whom I did not know was going to be there. Actually, I heard someone yell out my name, and it was Maria, who we know from the Atlanta Skeptics.
Oh, Maria's awesome.
Yeah, she's terrific.
We've been on cruises with her.
She organizes the star party that we go to right before DragonCon. The other friend I saw was Hina, who also used to write for Skeptic, now has her own blog at Freethought Blogs, and we see her at Convergence every year. She's also a lot of fun.
So what a star-studded crowd for Quizzitron.
It was very, very funny. The first round was get to know your contestants. So Rebecca had questions for each of the people, and they were Hal Lublin, who I was not familiar with before, but he's involved with...
He was Barney Miller, wasn't
he? No. I think you're thinking of Hal Linden.
Well, I think I'm always thinking of Hal Linden.
He's involved with a couple of popular podcasts, Thrilling Adventure Hour and Welcome to Night Vale.
Oh, yes.
He was very, very funny. The next contestant was Jennifer Ouellette, who's a science communicator, and her husband, Sean Carroll, who's a physicist, was actually the scorekeeper for the evening.
Oh.
But rest assured, he was completely fair. He did not show favoritism to Jennifer.
Scorekeeping in Quizzitron is more an art than a science.
Yes.
Okay. It's pretty much whatever. The idea is just to have fun, and they get very silly. They'll be like, okay, you get a billion points for that, and you get negative 2 zillion points for that, whatever.
And so sometimes the audience gets points.
It's very hard to predict who's going to win Quizatron.
Right.
Very Who's Line of them.
Yes.
The third contestant was Joseph Scrimshaw, someone else who we know through Convergence, and I was on a panel slash game show with him last year. Very funny, as always.
And he does the Obsessed podcast.
Yes, yes, a podcast that we enjoy a lot.
Yeah.
Next up was Amy Berg. I didn't know too much about her either, but she's at Bergopolis on Twitter. She's very funny. And finally, we had Mike Furman, who's a comedy musician.
Yeah.
From Hard and Firm.
Yeah, he and Chris Hardwick were a duo for quite some time called Hard and Firm. Kevin had seen him at DragonCon, but this was my first time actually seeing him in person.
Yeah, I did see Mike Furman do a show at DragonCon a couple of years ago. It was great. One of my favorite Mike Furman songs, of course, being so chicken-themed as we are right here, is Chicken Monkey Duck, right?
Yes, that was actually the subject of the question related to him in the first round. Rebecca asked, how many times in the song Chicken Monkey Duck does Mike Furman say chicken? And he got it wrong.
Oh.
It's actually, he lowballed it. It's actually like 58.
You know the song, Cornflake?
I don't know.
Oh, you're going to love this song, Cornflake. You've got to hear. There's a video for it, I believe.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
You've got to see it with the video.
I saw him perform Chicken Monkey Duck live. It was incredible.
So,
A silly time at Quizatron.
Silly time was had
expected.
By all. At one point, I turned around and realized that Phil Plait was sitting behind me.
The bad astronomer, Dr. Phil Plait.
He was also in Los Angeles, and I had noticed Scott Sigler was there, and it turned out they were there as former winners of Quizatron.
They were both former Quizatron champions, yes. I was in the room when they won Quizatron.
And they were going to present the belt, and there is an actual belt to be presented to the winner. And that winner was Mike Furman.
Furman won Quizatron.
Nice.
Good job.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. I think that my friends had a good time.
All right, hit us with some actual Gallifrey 1 convention highlights.
Actual Gallifrey 1 convention highlights. I was on two panels. One of them I moderated.
Oh, wow.
Talking, as I usually do, about Doctor Who books and old-time fandom. I enjoy talking about that. Actually also recorded a podcast.
Oh, wow.
A friend of mine has a podcast called the Doctor Who Book Club. So I will post on our Facebook page when that comes out.
Look at that, Cornflake. Our own mayor has been seeing other podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
They were very lucky to have you.
And I met some other podcasters while I was there, and I might actually guest on their podcast as well. It's a Mutter's Spiral.
We might never get you back again.
I know.
After this.
I'm going to be very popular after this. Also, there was the return of the dance. We've gone several years at this convention without a dance, but, you know, my favorite DJ, Paul Condon, came back. He's from England. He's just, you know, really knows how to DJ. It's not just, you know, some guy with a bunch of MP3s. And the theme of this dance was Britpop, so it was all British songs, and we just had a great time.
I would have loved that.
And at one point, you sent me a picture from the convention, and I thought Cornflake especially would appreciate this picture.
So, there didn't seem to be as many people wandering around in costume this year, but there were some cute ones, and one that caught my eye was someone who had a puppet in costume, and that puppet was Beaker, dressed as the Fourth Doctor.
Oh, look at that!
And the actor who played the Fourth Doctor, who's the kind of the classic one who everyone knows, the one with the curly hair and long scarf, his name is Tom Baker, so this was Tom Beaker.
Oh, Tom Beaker!
That's awesome.
Incredible.
I'll post a picture of that on the show notes. We also had some good alien costumes. Oh, there's a woman who has a service dog, which is a chug, which is a chihuahua pug mix. And she had him dressed up as K-9, who's the robot dog from Doctor Who.
Chug was a chicken pug mix.
No. And then here were some cool bee people from a black and white episode from the 60s. I think they were the big hit at the convention.
Very nice. Black and white bee people.
But we really had a great time. And I look forward every year to attending Gallifrey 1.
Yeah, we always look forward to hearing what happened out there, because we're not into Doctor Who, Cornflake and I.
Yet.
So we're depending on you. You're our bridge to the... Because everybody else that we know loves Doctor Who. But yet here we are, clueless week after week. Boy, wow, we really like that Tom Beaker.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
That's so perfectly appropriate.
Well, Mayor, thanks once again for your annual Gallifrey 1 report.
You're welcome.
And I understand you have to return to your mayoral duties.
I am going to return to my mayoral duties, but...
We'll let you slip out of the studio then.
Yeah.
Monkey, chicken, chicken, monkey, chicken, duck, duck, chicken, monkey, chicken, monkey, chicken, chicken, monkey, duck, monkey, duck, chicken, duck, monkey, duck, duck, chicken, monkey, chicken, chicken.
Okay, there goes the mayor.
The newest podcast superstar.
I guess. Yeah, man, we'll never see her again.
Aw.
Now, we have just a few items of business to plow through really quickly, I think. Just some follow-up on some previous show topics. One of which is Howard Jones.
Yeah!
Remember last week we were celebrating the birthday of 80s pop star Howard Jones?
Yes, we did!
Because we love Howard Jones.
And especially me.
Especially you, but I like him too. You've seen Howard Jones 3 or 4 times. Yep. I've never seen Howard Jones. And we said, all right, you know what? Next time Howard Jones comes around, we should go.
Right on.
Literally like 3 days or so later, I get the announcement, Howard Jones is coming.
So perfect.
Like in a few weeks. He's almost here.
I promise I had no idea that that was going to happen.
So immediately I had to just jump on. I said, look at that. Howard Jones is coming. All right. We said we were going to go. So we're going.
Yes.
I'm finally going to go see Howard Jones. And just in case anybody else wants to see Howard Jones, if you happen to be local, Howard is coming to the Tupelo Music Hall in Londonderry, New Hampshire.
And that's where I've seen him before.
Wow, that's a nice room. I've been to many, many excellent shows there. And it is on Saturday, March 21st, Saturday night, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
What could be better than that?
Can't think of too many things.
And get this, opening for Howard Jones is Katrina. And you might say, what? What does that mean? Well, it's Katrina, as in Katrina and the waves.
Whoa. Wait, does this mean it's going to be a waveless Katrina?
Yeah.
So it's just Katrina.
It's not billed as Katrina and the waves. This is billed as Katrina. She's okay. On her own. No more waves.
No waves. Wave-free Katrina.
She's wave-free. As the drooling 80s pop fans that we are, now we're getting 2 for the price of 1.
That's going to be amazing.
Katrina's coming. What's your favorite Katrina and the Waves song? Be honest.
Oh, I don't know. Walking on Sunshine?
Wow. Interesting choice. I like that one, too.
Oh, good. But she's not going to just do that one song for the entire show.
Well, she might, for one thing. But I actually know 2 Katrina and the Waves songs.
No way.
Which is not a lot, but I would say it's probably twice as many as most people know.
Yep.
She had a second hit song called That's the Way a couple of years later.
I wonder if I'd know it if I heard it.
You might. It wasn't a huge, massive hit like Walking on Sunshine, but I remember the video because like they tried to make her look really hot. She just kind of had a fun, goofy look for Walking on Sunshine, and then they tried to spin her as, now.
Oh, trying to make her sleek.
This is hot Katrina and the Waves for That's the Way. Pretty good song. A fun little 80s song. Anyway, Katrina is opening, and I couldn't be happier about that.
Well, if history is any indication for the shows that I've seen with Howard Jones, I bet you they'll do a duet at some point.
That'd be good.
Be interesting to see which song they pick for that.
They could do Endless Love.
No.
So Howard Jones coming to New Hampshire, March 21st. Now we've got some MarsCon updates also.
Right on.
MarsCon, yikes, that's next week.
Got my MarsCon shirt on.
You're wearing a MarsCon shirt.
Take it out. I'm so ready.
And I wanted to talk about this year's MarsCon Dementia t-shirt.
Oh yes, let's talk about that.
They released the design for this year's MarsCon Dementia 2015 t-shirts. So we're part of this t-shirt once again, because they put all the cast of characters who are on the dementia track on the t-shirt.
Remember last year where we were in the hot tub?
We were in a hot tub last year.
The hot tub time machine.
Yeah, last year it was time travel themed, and they had everybody in various time travel kind of situations, and you and I were in the in the hot tub time machine, which was appropriate, because you have your water aerobics classes, of course.
I'm figuring that's where the inspiration came from.
Yeah, and the hot tub time machine went back to the 80s in the movie, and that's all
that's
we do on this show is go back to the
80s. Pretty much where we hang out, yeah.
This year, it was Wizard of Oz themed, so everybody from the dementia track is represented as some Wizard of Oz character on the new t-shirts. You are Glinda, is
it? The Good Witch.
The Good Witch, that's you?
Yeah.
With a lobster wand.
In a bubble.
In a bubble. Excellent. And then now I'm on the t-shirt as well, along with Ed from Sponge Awareness Foundation, because of course my band Sponge Awareness Foundation, Ed and I, will be performing at MarsCon, and Ed and I are flying monkeys.
How perfect.
And it's more perfect than they even realized, I think. The art was a collaboration, I believe, of Luke Ski and Lindsay and TV's Kyle.
It looks so great.
Yeah, it looks wonderful. And what they didn't even know, I think, is that Ed's daughter, Emily, who is actually going to be joining us at MarsCon, she's our entourage. She's our roadie. She's our bodyguard. She's our tour manager.
She could be one busy lady.
Wearing a lot of hats at this convention for Sponge Awareness. But Emily's also done a lot of theater work. And a couple of years ago, I went to see her in a production of Wizard of Oz guess what she played?
She was with the Flying Monkeys.
Flying Monkeys run in the family, as it turns out, because now Ed and me, we're Flying Monkeys too. Let's go to MarsConDementia.com for all the information about the dementia track at MarsCon, of course, including links to order a weird t-shirt with cartoon versions of us from The Wizard of Oz.
Do it.
You know you want it.
Now, I love my little lobster scepter.
Let's see. Also, for MarsCon, we wanted to mention the book club again. Our new book club that we started.
Yep.
The Flopcast Book Club. We're going to be reading a book called Why Did the Chicken Cross the World by Andrew Lawler. It's a book about the history of the chicken and how important chickens have been throughout civilization. And at some point during MarsCon, we don't know when, but at some point we'll figure out a time to get together with whoever wants to talk about a chicken book.
Oh man, I really need to get on that. So I should give an update on what happened with the Cornflake Book Club.
Yes.
We're still a thing. Don't worry, we didn't disband.
There is a Cornflake Book Club of which you are the only member.
So the Cornflake Book Club all went together to the bookstore the other night.
All of you.
All of us went to go get the Andrew Lawler book. Yep. Why Did the Chicken Cross the World? And I've been getting some reports that this book is turning out to be hard to find in places. It's selling out. So I guess the Flopcast Book Club has really taken off.
Yeah, there's been quite a run on this book.
There was no problem with the Cornflake Book Club trying to get this book because it was in stock. But before we found that, we found a book called Dirty Chick.
Dirty Chick.
Oh, book with a chicken. This must be the thing we're supposed to read for the book club. And I scooped that up.
Yeah.
And then I found, of course, Why Did the Chicken Cross the World? And I scooped that up too.
So I'm like, two chicken books.
I've got everything I need now. And everything I need in the whole wide world.
So I gotta say, Dirty Chick sounds like it could be an awfully naughty book going by that title.
It does, but it turns out it's not. I mean, some of the humor is a little bit racy in it, but wow. It's a story about a woman who was living in San Francisco and she and her husband got on a boat and moved to New Zealand and decided to live in rural New Zealand raising farm animals. And it was about that transition experience and raising a family there. So the Cornflake Book Club has been all over that book.
Wow.
And needs to get cracking on the Why Did the Chicken Cross the World book. But I went up to the cash register with my two books, and the clerk looks at me and goes, okay, what's up with the chickens?
We get that a lot, don't we?
We do. I looked at her and I said, it's because I'm on a podcast that's obsessed with chickens. And somehow this was a more acceptable answer.
Yeah,
that explains
everything. I like the ambition that you've shown in getting two different chicken books. Most book clubs, it's more than one member, and you're reading one book.
Oh, I like how you've
flipped this. The rest of us will be concentrating on just the one book to clarify Why Did the Chicken Cross the World. So join us at MarsCon at some point. We'll talk about it, whether you've read the book or not. Who cares? We'll have fun.
Yeah.
And also for people in the Boston area, once again, this is also being read by the Boston Skeptics Book Club, and we will be meeting at Harvard on Saturday, March 14th, Pi Day, of course.
Yes.
So look up the Boston Skeptics if you want to join us there. Everybody's reading this chicken book. Join us. In fact, I got a message from Ed from Sponge Awareness moments ago. As we speak, Ed is in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure why, but Ed is in Arizona reading the chicken book.
It's the only place he could find it. It's selling out everywhere.
Yeah, Ed went to Arizona. I don't know if that's the only reason he went, but he went to Arizona, he bought the chicken book, and he's currently in Arizona reading the chicken book. He's probably at Mel's Diner. I'm not
one
sure.
One of us.
All right, other MarsCon news. Sponge Awareness Foundation, we are still preparing to go to MarsCon. We have a lot of work to do. We have not yet rehearsed.
I was going to ask how that was going.
Well, most of the meetings that we schedule get snowed out because all we do is get horrifying blizzards around here, as you know. So we have not rehearsed yet, but we have discussed rehearsing. Sometime this week, hopefully, we will actually rehearse. We're also working on those USBs, Sponge Awareness USB drives that we're bringing to MarsCon. It's going to have pretty much everything ever recorded by the Sponge Awareness Foundation. We are loading these things up with all kinds of weird, rare music from throughout the history of Sponge Awareness, plus a bunch of really weird music videos and cartoons that we produced back in the 90s. I'm still going through all of our photos and art and posters and all sorts of stuff that we're going to load up this thing with. We have not yet recorded that commentary track that I was talking about again. Haven't had a chance because of the weather. Hopefully sometime this week We're going to record, me and Ed, we're going to talk about all the music on the USB, and that'll be like a fun kind of podcast-style conversation as well. So hopefully all of that will be wrapped up and ready to go in time for MarsCon in Minnesota. We're also going to be doing Flopcast Live at MarsCon, as we mentioned last week. Plans are still underway for our live Flopcast. We're going to play a game, because I think that'll be fun, you know?
I agree. I'm having just a little bit of nervousness about this, and I don't know why. I'm sure I'll get over it as soon as I get to MarsCon.
You could be like Vanna White.
Oh, see, that's why I'm nervous.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The expectation is going to be that I'm going to be like Vanna White.
I've been at conventions where they've done TV game show style games. They do this at Boston Comic Con. They've done Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and they did Press Your Luck last year with the Whammies, of course. And down at Dragon Con, Gil Gerard, who played Buck Rogers, he does Match Game in the 25th century. So we're going to do something like that. We're going to do the flop game, I think, instead of Match Game.
Ah, the flop game.
What fun we'll have. Yeah, let's assemble a celebrity panel at MarsCon and play the flop game.
All right.
Let's do it. And we're going to have prizes.
Oh, right, that's right. I'm going to give out the prizes.
You're going to give out the prizes, and I mean real prizes. We're actually assembling some lovely prizes right now. This is going to be some good actual prizes.
Okay, I'll put away the stuff I thought we were going to give away.
We're not just bringing Flopcast Pez dispensers.
Okay.
We might bring Pez dispensers.
Those are a hit. People
those are
like
great.
Those.
We might even have some other stuff, though. We'll see.
Nice.
So come to the Flopcast Live at MarsCon, win some stuff. I got some stuff to show you, actually, just to wrap up our MarsCon talk. Some things have been arriving here at the studio to get ready for MarsCon. I got to show you this stuff. We've got new Flopcast stickers just arrived.
Stickers?
And these are similar to the ones that we use on our Flopcast Pez dispensers, but I just got a new batch of them arrived in the mail.
Look at that.
Little round Flopcast stickers with our chicken logo on it. I think I might put these in with the USB packs.
That's a good idea.
If you get the Sponge Awareness USB, I think we're going to throw in a little Flopcast sticker.
I'm going to wear one on my forehead.
Do it. Check these out too, Cornflake. We got some new Flopcast business cards.
Really?
Yes. They're shinier than the old ones.
Look at how shiny.
Nice. And you can see we added the ESO Network logo.
Aw.
Because now we're part of ESO Network.
Cool.
So lovely, fancy new Flopcast business cards that we will be bringing to Minnesota with us. And one more Flopcast item for you crazy kids at MarsCon. You know how everybody at these conventions, they wear those ribbons?
Yeah.
With the ribbons on their badges?
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine, what if we had Flopcast badge ribbons?
It's what I've always dreamed of.
Well, your dream is about to come true right here,
no
right now in the
way.
Studio. Check these out, Cornflake. We've got them, kids. Flopcast badge ribbons for MarsCon.
You love the Flopcast!
they say you love the Flopcast on them. So, we're bringing ribbons. Anybody who wants a ribbon, come find us, and you shall have one.
Those are so
aren't those
neat.
Lovely? These are red badge ribbons with the silver lettering on them. You love the Flopcast.
They're shiny.
All this new Flopcast stuff, very, very shiny. Wow. That's true. So, preparations are underway because, yikes, we're leaving any day now.
Yeah, I really need to get ready.
For Minnesota, as long as there's not a blizzard.
Oh dear.
We gotta try to be like the mayor and successfully slip out of town for a convention, despite the miserable winter that we're all suffering through.
Oh.
You know what I love? As you go around, because we're all suffering through this as a community, all of us together, everybody around here, there's that camaraderie that you experience when you're out there among the people, in that everybody that you see, you can look at any one person and know that their soul has been crushed.
By this winter.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
that's true.
I do enjoy that. So next week, we will be in Minnesota, hopefully.
Where I hear it's a few degrees warmer than where we are now.
Sure, it'll be delightful in Minneapolis.
But, it's going to seem balmy to us.
So we're not going to be here in the studio next week. However, we have a special show already prepared for next week.
Oh yeah, this is going to be good.
So see you then. Why don't you wrap up the show for this week, Cornflake?
All right, let's wrap things up. We are on the internet. Find us at flopcast.net. We have a Twitter handle. It is at Flopcast. And on Facebook, we're at facebook.com/Flopcast.
Yes, 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 yes. All right. I guess the next time I see you will be in Central Time Zone, Minnesota.
Yep.
Yeah, see you there.
That's how it sounds.
Here we go.
All right. Peace and cookies.
Stripes Nuggets from Banquet in three great tastes.
Hot from the oven, anytime, fun time, Hot Bites, party nights, dip them, pop them, all right.
Hot Bites.
Hot lunch on the go, catch
them. This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.